is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back round number two, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Aaron Raybould in for Dell. He'll take us home for the next 2 hours along with Barry and myself.
What up, Playboy?
Get into a whole bunch. It looks like Aaron's going to do hour number three for us in the Way Back Wednesday. Songs Trump would listen to or about Trump. Barry, do you want to recap the, you have them, your titles of your songs?
Yeah, I can do that. I took it from the standpoint of these are the songs that I think Trump would absolutely listen to based off solely off title, not like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's got like the best beat. This is just based off of title. Pink Floyd's Money, Mace's More Money, More Problems, The Chemical Brothers' Orange Wedge. Okay, maybe that was the Wanna Dies, I Love Myself, David Bowie, I'm Afraid of Americans, Ringo Starr, I'm the Greatest, Buffy St. Marie, the incest song.
Oh, man.
And the OJs, For the Love of Money. So there's my list.
I am hour number two, and I have The Eurythmics, Would I Lie to You, followed by The Beatles, Back in the USSR, Bad Medicine for the entire COVID-19, Alexander O'Neill, Fake for Fake News, Muse, Sunburn, Simple Minds, oh, Don't You Forget nice. About Me, Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Very good.
Chameleonaire, Evening News. So there you have it.
Okay, look at us doing it. Look how we're
we
doing it.
We have a different way to do Way Back Wednesday lately, thanks to, I think, Nick in part, but it's a cool way to kind of jazz up the theme. I like it.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, so other NFL news. Boy, Jameis Winston did not get paid to be the backup for the Saints. The deal is now done. Did you see what he got?
Yes, the Saints. We talked about it yesterday. They better not overpay for a guy that's, you know, he's just, I don't know, I wouldn't even say insurance, right? I mean, because Taysom Hill was supposed to be the, you just needed a body, and $1.1 million is, they just, that, first of all, it's embarrassing for Jameis Winston to go from a starting quarterback in the NFL who threw 30 touchdowns last year. I know about the interceptions, but you still had 30. To throw 30 touchdowns.
30.
But, you know, yeah, that's what I said, 30.
I know. I'm just saying 30 interceptions. I'm just throwing them out there. That's a lot.
I know about that, but he still threw 30 touchdowns as an NFL quarterback. And he got $1.1 million to go be a backup.
That's, yeah, because we were talking, you and I were talking about if you're going to pay those three guys, and you would assume because Teddy Bridgewater made, I think, 7.5 last year, that he was going to get similar numbers, and then Taysom Hill got the extension for $21 million. With for at least 2 years guaranteed at like 16, so you knew that he was making good coin. I'm shocked that he settled for 1.1. Now there's incentives involved where he can get an extra 3.4, but obviously he's got to play to get that. But
one of them is make the Pro Bowl.
Well, so then that's out. But you look at it, and we go back to Nick Foles, and then after the Nick Foles run in the Super Bowl. And him being able to pick up the Eagles, not miss a beat, and win the Super Bowl, the importance of the backup quarterback became a really relevant thing. And teams started to pay attention to that and maybe pay a little bit more. The Saints were a great example last year. Breeze misses 5 games. Teddy Bridgewater steps in, goes 5-0. I mean, you've got to have a capable backup to do that. My example, of course, for failure was when Aaron Rodgers went out in Green Bay, they brought in Todd Hundley, who completely crapped all over himself and the organization. They didn't win, and they didn't make the playoffs. So you need a quality backup. But if I think if every team in the league knew I could get Jameis Winston for 1.1, I think there'd be a ton of teams that would say, I'll take him as my backup.
Yeah, that for sure. I mean, if you are Green Bay and you needed a backup QB, you could have. You'd have been much better off getting Jameis Winston for a few years to be the backup to Aaron Rodgers, and good for the Saints because it makes sense. You know, Drew Brees is older. He was so durable. And then he had all the injuries last year, like you said. Bridgewater stepped in and won 5 games for him. I don't know that Jameis Winston at this point in his career is going to do that, but he could do that. He has the capability to do that. There's some backups you look at and you go, "There's no way they can go in and win 5 NFL games out of 5." But, you know, Jameis Winston is a guy where, okay, you could see that depending on who they played and all that. So it's good money spent because on SpotTrack, his market value, you want to take a stab at it?
17.
$26.7 million is what SpotTrack says comparing his numbers, because they do it based off of productivity. His numbers compared to Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Jared Goff, they have him in that length as far as his calculated value. So they say he should have got a 5-year, $141 million deal at $26.7 a year.
Now, crazy. Here's the thing. When you talk about Jameis, you say Green Bay would have been a good fit. But the thing is that Jameis would never – he doesn't have 3 years to kill. He's got one. And so the reason why I think this makes a lot of sense, even though I think the money is low for Jameis, it makes a lot of sense because you're going to a really good offensive mind in Sean Payton. And you're going to learn from a coach that has had a lot of success with quarterbacks. And you're going to play behind a Hall of Famer. And so in a year's time, not only do you expect he will learn some things and get better because of the experience, but then if in fact it does happen after 1 year that Drew Brees retires and goes to NBC, because we've already said he's got that contract signed and it's just whenever he quits, he goes right into TV. It's a 2-year, $50 million deal with the option his after the first year. He could retire after the first year. But regardless, we all said the heir apparent was Teddy Bridgewater, and then he signed with Carolina. Now, the inclination is to believe that Taysom Hill, based on the money they spent, will eventually take over. But if he's not ready, or he shows signs that in practice and otherwise he's not getting it, it could be a great situation for Jameis because he could pick up where Drew left off when Drew walks away. Saints are still a very talented team, and he could walk into a perfect situation to be a starter again.
Yeah, I found it interesting. Aaron, you sent us some audio, that first one, number 10. I found that interesting. I'd love to hear his quote because apparently Jameis Winston said that going back to NOLA is like getting a Harvard education, and he was already in Tampa with Bruce Arians, who is another guy that you could do worse learning offense from. But I think for Jameis, I guess going to New Orleans is ideal. This is what he said.
I think I'm going to being a part of New Orleans Saints, being a part with Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, Sean Payton, Coach Joe Lombardi, Coach Pete Carmichael Jr. When you think about that room, I mean, that's like a Harvard education in quarterback school.
Crazy. Yeah, and he's right, though. I mean,
look, smart guy. I give him credit because a lot of people are just going to try and cash in. It's all about the money. And also, their ego at a certain point, having been a starter, isn't going to let them say, I need to learn more. I give him credit for what he said.
Yeah.
Now, Dan Graziano was on ESPN earlier, and I'll play the audio for you here in a second, but he lined out why they brought in Winston versus having just Taysom, because yes, the money says Taysom is going to be the heir apparent to run the ship as soon as Drew Brees retires, but he brought up why you would bring in Winston to actually be the backup and let Taysom Hill sit and do his gadget plays for the time being.
If Drew Brees had retired, my understanding is the Saints were prepared to go with Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback, but in that case, they would have had to redesign an entire offense around him. Now, with Brees coming back, they need a more traditional passer as their backup, and they can keep Taysom Hill in the role that he's succeeded in for the last 2 years. One-year deal for Jameis Winston in New Orleans, so if Brees retires and they want to go with Hill next year, they can.
I don't know, man. Here's the thing. I think, look, Taysom Hill's a hell of an athlete, and Taysom Hill is versatile. But there's a huge difference between the skill sets that he's using now and being a starting quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, just speaking about Winston, Winston's talented, was the number one overall pick in the draft. And as you said, Barry, 30 touchdowns means he can play the position. But the 30 interceptions is something that is not acceptable within NFL circles.
Well, listen, I'm saying, I think that – go ahead, sorry. I didn't mean to
cut you off. I was just going
to
say, but Taysom Hill doesn't have the experience – of Jameis. It's a leap of faith if you're the Saints to say you go from a gadget guru guy, a gadget guy, to all of a sudden expecting this guy's going to lead our franchise and be able to make the right reads and the right throws and the right decisions. That's a big jump.
Well, a couple things. I mean, I've seen receivers coming out and saying that a lot of those 30 interceptions were not his fault, that receivers were cut routes short. They wouldn't complete routes. They would give up on routes. So I don't think you can blame all 30 interceptions on Jameis Winston. In fact, when you look back over his career, the most he ever had before last year was 18. So 12 more interceptions, I don't think he just forgot how to throw the football. Now, some of them are probably his. Don't get me wrong. He probably was responsible for 20, 22. But still, the thing to me that's baffling about this is you've got to figure out now who's going to get those number two snaps. Because if you think Jameis is the guy going to step in and save your season, then you have to let him do that. Now, I realize that they had to manage that with Teddy Bridgewater to begin with. But if Taysom Hill is your future, you've got to let him start getting those number two snaps at some point, because you can't just start a new season when he was never running with the ones and twos because Jameis was and Drew was. At some point, he's got to start moving closer.
I just think Jameis is your number two this year. And Taysom's not mad because he's still got a huge role in the offense. But as Graziano said, then in the offseason, if you're going to go with Taysom Hill, you rewrite the playbook, because it's got to be totally different when you start saying going from Drew Brees to a guy that's more
a run
quarterback.
The scary thought about that is okay, now you're going into a guy who hasn't been getting the reps that he should have been getting up to that point. So it's almost, I'm not saying he's a rookie by any stretch, but I'm just saying he could have been getting more reps in practices with the twos and sometimes the ones.
But you also see that's why
number
I
two
said,
backup.
I don't know.
Unless
they
just say
Jameis
is there. Is there? Well, but if they're saying Jameis is the three, then and for at $1.1 million, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But like I said, I
don't know if
he's
the two.
Question mark is, I don't think that, you know, like you even talked about, besides even reps at practice, Taysom Hill hasn't been on the field long enough for you to know that he can carry a team as the number one. So I'd be a little leery of that. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Lots more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. We'll roll back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back, hour number two, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Aaron Raybould along with Barry and I for the ride here on a way back Wednesday. Songs Trump would listen to or about Trump. I have hour number two. Barry had hour number one. We were talking about Jameis Winston before the break, joining the Saints on a very, very team-friendly contract. $1.1 million is the actual contract, $3.4 million in possible incentives. And Tony called in. He wants to join in on the conversation. Tony, welcome to the Suspects.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
Good. Just an objective look at things and, you know, just listening to what he said, because I heard him comment this morning on one of the channels. And, you know, he – sometimes great people – or people that think they're great have to take a step back and reevaluate and humble themselves to make sure that they're in the right position. And, you know, he has money, so it's not like he doesn't have enough to survive. But at the same time, you have to look at the fact that he's going to be sitting in a room now with Drew Brees, Sean Payton, all these excellent coaches. He's going to get to just soak it up and learn, and he's going to get to go over all the game video with Drew Brees personally. And, you know, that Sean Payton is a versatile guy as well. So I don't know how much of his incentives he'll make, But to make a couple of million dollars to sit in class, basically, and gain an education from some of the best coaches and one of the best quarterbacks ever, is invaluable. So I think it's a very mature move. I think it's very humbling, you know, to be able to do that as a person and to better yourself. And, yeah, you could have probably got more money. But would you have been in the situation you're in now to learn and practice and go over film and why did he throw that away? Why did he do this? Why did he give that look? Why did, and to have Drew Brees sit with him and explain to him and the motivation of the whole team, I wouldn't be surprised after the year ends, even if he doesn't play, if he winds up with a contract with them, especially if Drew moves on. So I understand what you guys are saying. Anybody could have got him at that price, but I think he made a great move, and that's my take on it.
Appreciate the call. I don't think anybody could have got him at that price. I mean, when you look at what his market value was, I don't know. But if you have the opportunity to go, and if you know you're going to be a backup, you could do worse by going to New Orleans. So like Joel was saying earlier, I think he hedged his bet by going to New Orleans, taking less money, but a better opportunity to be a starter either this year because of injury or next year because of retirement. So I think the money is a factor, but it was also opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think the money was low. I mean, look, great deal for the Saints, and obviously a good deal for Jameis for all the points that were made by all of us. But the thing is with the other opportunities across the league, you know, there were opportunities. You don't have an infinite number of years to make the money, right? It's going to start falling off at some point. So, you know, I think to some degree I get what Tony's saying. Look, it's a smart move from the standpoint of trying to get better, but that's money you may never make up. But if it does turn out that he gets a starting job somewhere next year or in the next 2 years and starts making quarterback money again, like you said, Barry, even close to the value that Spotrac says, then probably all worth it. But there were situations out there where you're not trying to beat out a Drew Brees or hope to get a chance to take over after a year. Ben Roethlisberger is probably going to play one or two more years. That's it. You know that. So the Saints are a good opportunity. Pittsburgh would have been a good opportunity. Jacksonville would have been an opportunity because of the fact that, you know, they got a guy in Minshew that's young and they're hoping he's the guy, but he might not be. And he, you know, he's in Florida, close to, you know, the roots of Jameis with all of his days at Florida State and then with the Bucks. I don't know, man. I commend him for doing it. I just don't – I was surprised at the money.
Greg Myers on Twitter asked a question. He said, do you think that they just brought in Jameis just to get information on the Bucks offense and then they'll cut him? No, I don't think that at all, because that offense is going to be completely different with Tom Brady. Completely different. They're going to build everything, rebuild everything around Tom Brady and how they do things. Brady has a way that he wants it done, and Jameis isn't there for that. So I think this has nothing to do with getting info on the Tampa Bay Bucks offense and everything to do with getting a quarterback that can step in for an older, a little more fragile Drew Brees that you feel like has NFL experience and can win a few games because you lost Teddy Bridgewater. And getting him at a great value.
Yeah, if you're the Saints, you learned your lesson last year, and you learned it on the positive side because you had a guy that was able to carry it for you, fill in five straight wins. And then if you say, hey, we've got who we think our quarterback of the future is, but he's not ready now based on how the offense is, if I can get a guy that was less than a year removed from being a starter and, like you said, threw 30 touchdowns, the interception's fine and dandy, right? But the fact that most backup quarterbacks aren't going to have the reps to throw anywhere near 30 touchdowns and take basically every snap for a football team within 6 to 8 months of him becoming your backup, and you only have to pay $1 million, you snatch that up. That deal for any team in the league, if it's presented, they're going to probably take it 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, it was a very team-friendly deal, very team-friendly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The other thing that was interesting was Brett, because we've been talking about the Aaron Rodgers scenario, and it really is, and you know it's troubling to me as well, and we were talking about it yesterday. Brett Favre went on the Rich Eisen show, and he basically said he thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to finish his career somewhere else. I was curious what you thought about all that, because look, from a dead cap money standpoint, for the next 2 years, he's going to be quarterback of the Packers. And the third year, it's going to be pretty hard to walk away still with the cap issues. So he's still probably going to be in Green Bay for 2 to 3 years. And then at that point, he's going to be, I think, 39.
Mm.
So think about it. We'll get it on the way back. I'll get your thoughts on if you think Aaron Rodgers finishes his career as a Packer, if he goes on, moves on, and if so, when. We'll continue to roll on. That's the first half of the show. Second half still to go. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Somebody tell him it's murder. Murder was the case, and they blame me.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Before the break, I threw to you one, Barry Laminack, the scenario of whether or not Aaron Rodgers will finish his career as a Green Bay Packer based on Jordan Love being drafted in the first round and they traded up to get him. And with his contract the way it is and the way it sits, do you see him playing elsewhere?
I could definitely see him playing for another team, if for no other reason than the amount of disrespect he was shown on draft day. I think that, yeah, you can come out and say all you want about he's our quarterback for the next 3 years, but trades happen and all those. That was disrespectful. If you would have drafted a quarterback in the fourth round or the third round, or, you know, you had some value, something like that. But to move up in the first round when you had so many other needs, including offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Wide receiver, bro.
Including defensive, you know, getting a linebacker to help keep them in a game. I mean, getting some secondary help. There was so many other things that they could have addressed as a team. And what did they address? The one thing where they're probably the most set at. That's just disrespectful. That's why.
So, but let me ask you this, Barry. But here's the thing: you're valid. Look, and their needs were all weapons for Aaron Rodgers. Their defense was really good last year, but they had plenty of holes to fill, starting with wide receiver on the offensive side of the football. But on top of all that, then I weigh that. I hear what you're saying, and I weigh that against. Look, this organization's already been through a quarterback holding them hostage, calling all the shots, and running roughshod when Brett Favre was in the latter stages of his career. So now you got a guy like Rodgers who ran all over Mike McCarthy the last couple of years. And you know, as much as I'm a fan of this team and have always been a fan of this team, he has annoyed the hell out of me over the last couple of years with his on-field demeanor, with his body language, with his press conferences, with the fact that he has that passive-aggressive and kind of bitchy, whiny thing that goes on a lot that can get under people's skin. And maybe this was a message sent that says, look, we know you're good, and right now you're the quarterback of this team, but we're not putting up with that crap. We got through it for 1 year and made the conference championship game, but going forward, those days are ending.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that too. I get not wanting to be held hostage, but when you have one of the greatest quarterbacks currently in the NFL and maybe goes down as one of the best, I don't think you disrespect him like that and you don't make plans to move on. Guys, I understand the whole holding us hostage thing, but I mean, Brady was like that. Brady was going to do what Brady wanted to do.
Him? But when you know, Rodgers got one Super Bowl, so there's a big difference between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady in terms of team accomplishments. The one thing that I will say that's really bad in this whole scenario is, regardless of how it all plays out and how long Rodgers is the quarterback, it says to the team, we have more of a thinking of the future mentality than we do trying to win now. Because the team and all the guys coming back from last year's team have to be thinking, we were close. Now, we obviously got steamrolled in the NFC Championship game, but if we rectify, like, stopping the run, if we rectify, like you said, if they do some things to rectify the interior defensive line so that they don't get run all over, and they add a weapon or two on offense, it could be a different scenario. So all of a sudden, you're a guy on that team, and you're getting ready for this season, and you see the draft, and you go, oh, my God, all these receivers are falling right into our lap. We're going to add a guy right there. It's going to be great. And they take a quarterback for the future, and you go, what are we doing, and what am I doing on this team? I want to win now, and we're close, and yet you're planning for 3 and 5 years down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You can't feel good if you're a vet on that team thinking short-term, near-term. You know, if you just got drafted in this draft, okay, cool. But if you're, you know, if you've been there, it's a bad feeling, man, that they don't commit to it. Now you can say, hey, look, it's really just about one player. It's not about the team. But at the same time, I mean, the one player you got is really good at his job, and you could get him weapons and be even better. Or you could make your defense better. I just looked it up. You know, points wise, they were pretty good. They were more of a bend but don't break defense. But if they could cut down on some of the yardage that they gave up, if they could be better, you know, against the run, like you said, then that's even.
I mean, their sack totals were fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Smith brothers they brought in were all over the quarterback all the time. But San Francisco exposed exactly what their biggest, and they have one really, really, really good lockdown young corner. Mm-hmm. In Alexander, but the other, as I've told you, the other corner was weak, and more so than anything else, the Niners exposed them and said, "We're going to jam it down your throat, and until you stop the run, we're going to keep doing it." And they just gashed the Packers for yard after eight, 10 yards out of carry. You can't beat a team if they're controlling the clock and jamming it down your throat. I think they have to improve. They brought in a new inside linebacker. They're trying to get defensive line help. But again, like you said, if you're not going to draft receiver in the first round, draft D line. You know, get some guys that can help your weaknesses. Because here's the other thing. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, now you're just basically saying, we're starting over. And all these guys brought in free agency that have played well, they're going to want out too, because they're like, what are we doing? There's no one behind Rodgers that gives us a chance to win now, and that's what we're talking about.
It depends on who you trade him for, and it depends on what you do. You know, if they traded Aaron Rodgers for a 1 and a 2 next year, or whatever haul they get, a 1, a 2, and a 5, or whatever you could get for Aaron Rodgers at this point, and then go grab Cam and say, all right, this is what, you know, let's do this. That to me says, look, we're thinking about the future, but we're not giving up on the present. So you could still, you know, if I saw an article in our rundown that you posted about Alex Smith hasn't given up. If that's a route they go, if he's healthy and can play, not that Alex Smith or Cam Newton is a great replacement for Aaron Rodgers, but if you need to sever that tie and not just mail it in for the next 3 years, you can find somebody to replace Rodgers that gives you a chance to succeed while still keeping one eye on the future. I think they've got to really handle this right going forward.
Well, I don't think they have, so that I don't know that they will. And you know, Matt LaFleur and Gutekunst, the GM, in their first year couldn't have looked better, and they couldn't have screwed all of that goodwill up with worse than the draft that they just had and what they just did, because you don't move on from Aaron Rodgers at this point, and especially when you have no one behind him, and you don't win over your fan base that way. And then, you know, with the things you were saying, I mean, you look at it, now all of a sudden I'm hearing Matt LaFleur wants to make this his team, put his mark on it for the future, which means they want to become a running team. You want to become a running team when Aaron Rodgers has still got plenty of years left as your quarterback? I don't see it. And Aaron Jones to be an every down back, to take a beating, to do something, I'm a little concerned about just from top to bottom what the organization is doing. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Maybe it is the most interesting story right now in the NFL. I was hoping that it wouldn't be, but until the Texans trade Kenny Stills to the Packers, it's going to be a bunch of negativity.
Yeah, well.
Speaking of veterans that played in Green Bay, though, did you see this Breshawn Breeland story?
Crazy. Damn Chiefs, man. What's up with that?
So Breeland used to be a Packer, won a Super Bowl last year with the Chiefs, re-upped.
Yeah, no one cares about that. He's a Chief. Okay, no one cares about the Packers part, Joel.
Can I just do the transition? It was going to be smooth until that. So now, like sandpaper, we're going to just rough the edges and come back in.
Shoehorn it in. Just wedge it in.
Super Bowl champ coming back.
Go Chiefs. Chiefs Nation.
Guess it doesn't all mean that much to him, including re-upping with the Chiefs. He was arrested on multiple charges Tuesday in York County, South Carolina, released from jail on a $2,300 bond. Along with his arrest, a source confirmed that Breeland is facing an NFL suspension for a substance violation that is separate from this incident. So the NFL Network first reported on his potential punishment, identifying it as a potential four-game ban before being arrested in South Carolina. Now, I don't know how long this is going to be if all this finds out to be true, but he was arrested on the suspicion in the fact that officers approached three people smoking marijuana. All three attempted to leave the scene. The officer said he witnessed one of the suspects throw a blunt into Breland's car. Breland attempted to flee after being told by the officer he was being detained. The officer attempted to place him in handcuffs. He pulled away, then reportedly pushed the officer, so the officer pulled a taser. He continued to resist arrest and attempt to get in his car and leave. He got in the car. Officers said he could not see Breland's hands. They drew their firearm, and he put his hands in the air and eventually was handcuffed. When they looked at the car, they found the blunt weighing 1.3 grams, more marijuana weighing 3.2 grams, and two open bottles of Corona and an open bottle of Patron.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because his lawyers have already come out and said, look, this isn't what happens. We look forward to getting the body cam footage. He was leaving the store after making a legal purchase, getting into a legal car that had legal plates. Somebody threw, you know, something. He tweeted out somebody threw something at his car, but then deleted the tweets. It's a mess. He's also on the hook by the – I don't know if you was reading. I'm sorry. I was a bit distracted. But the NFL is also looking at suspending him for substance abuse violations.
Yeah, that's four that's games a bad already, thing. They think. Yep.
Yeah, that's a bad thing because it ties into what it, you know, what they said. He let them look at his phone, and they found weed and open stuff in the car. It's an awful, awful look. But his lawyers seem to think that, oh, nope. Innocent until proven guilty. Keep that in mind, and we're going to get the footage. I don't know.
It's a bad look for the Chiefs too, coming off a Super Bowl. Yeah. But I will say this: the one thing that actually ends up looking at like it goes in his favor is because someone threw something in his car, and you couldn't tell what. He's got a scapegoat built in. He can get those guys to take the rap for him and try and push that through. He might be able to get off of this.
Maybe so, and if especially if he's got good lawyers, or there's body cam footage that shows what really happened, but. I mean, you start pushing officers and getting tased, and the fact I think they're filing excessive force charges, or they're like I don't know what, but they're claiming excessive force because he pulled the gun, but the officer was saying, "Well, I couldn't see his hands because he was in the car." It's just a mess, man. It's one of those.
And here's the thing, though: if he gets off of this one,
we're never really going to know the truth.
He's still got the substance issue that for four games regardless. So even if he gets off of this, he's going to be suspended. That's not what the Chiefs brought him back for. It's a bad look. He's got to get his stuff together.
You're doing Green Bay stuff. Don't do that in Go do that in Green Bay.
You watch your mouth. Hey, speaking of getting your things together, if you're a guy and you feel like you got to get your stuff together because you don't have the energy you once had, you know, you're looking for a little bit more oomph in the bedroom or maybe a little bit more energy at the gym or because of all this downtime with the coronavirus and being at home, you want to have more energy for your kids and your family. Well, Apollo Men's Health is here to help because O is just an unbelievable physician. He's a doctor that knows what he's talking about. He knows how to listen and then get results for men that need help finding energy. Dave, the office manager, is going to take care of you, and everybody's going to treat you like family. They have everything you need from traditional testosterone therapy to cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that during this whole coronavirus thing is great because you still get all the energy. You just don't have to go to the office and make the visits to get the testosterone as frequently as you would the traditional way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. Everything they do increases your overall quality of life. I mean, at the end of the day, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. I'm telling you, if you guys want help and you want people to treat you right, check out the people at Apollo Men's Health.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Can I get some nasty bass? You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back and rolling through a Wayback Wednesday on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, the Wayback Wednesday theme songs about Trump or Trump would listen to, following the new version of Wayback Wednesday where we find themes and do it that way as opposed to just our top songs. So I think it's been fun. Barry had hour number one. I got hour number two. Hour number three is Aaron or Nick. We'll see.
Nick, he sent me his list.
Oh, Nick's got a list in, so there you go. Nick will be hour number three. And we were talking a lot about the NFL before the break, Barry. And look, from a Packers perspective, you know I'm not sugarcoating it. I think they screwed the whole thing up. I think it's just a ridiculously bad move, and we'll see how it goes. It doesn't erase the fact that, obviously, you've got a lot of teams with a lot of issues that they're trying to rectify and get better in doing so. You mentioned Alex Smith. I don't know if you saw this or not, but he still plans on playing, as you mentioned. But the bigger thing is, you know, we remember the hit because it came against the Texans, so everybody was watching. 17 surgeries?
That's
crazy. And no, not for other things. All 17 related to that injury that he sustained when J.J. Watt and others brought him down. Man, I'll tell you what, and he's made a boatload of money. That's a tough one to say, I'm going to come back and try this again.
Yeah, that's a lot of surgeries, dude. I didn't realize that. 17?
17, bro. And they said it was Theismann-esque without the bone sticking out on national TV and all that. But, I mean, if I need 5 or 6 and I'm having a hard time walking and I got pins in my leg for the extended period of time, I'll be like, you know, I've made 30, 40 mil in my career. I'm probably good.
Right. Man.
Now, I don't know if he has to continue to rehab and not retire to get the remainder of his contract from the Redskins, but, boy, I don't know if I'd be wanting to play again.
Dude, when you think about, like, if I went the last time I had surgery, I think, was I had a deviated septum, which it's back again. I got to go get it fixed again. But I had a deviated septum in my nose, and I had surgery on that. I was the biggest baby. Like, I was just, you know, dudes in general, when it comes to surgeries, a lot of us we're crybabies. When we get sick or we get a surgery, as manly as we want to act like we are, ask your woman. She probably thinks you're a pansy. But so that's just one. Could you imagine going through 16 more back-to-back-to-back in the time span that he has?
Bro, some of it involved in – this is crazy, man. ESPN and E60 followed him for 2 weeks. And they said the road to recovery still remains a long one, even though he's walking again and he's getting back to quote-unquote normal. They said shortly after his initial leg surgery, which was a ridiculously long process to put his leg back together, he battled sepsis, and it got infected. And 17 surgeries later, they were still considering amputation because his life was at risk.
Oh, my God. If he doesn't come back bionic, then this was all for naught.
I mean, his quote was, football might not be out of the question. Can I go play quarterback again? Can I push it that far? Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, guys like that, they're so competitive, and they're such competitors, and they have such a will and a drive that the rest of us don't, and that's in part why they're where they are. I guarantee you it's never been one of those things where he's like, oh, I'm just going to quit. You know,
bro, probably net worth, want to guess?
Alex Smith, net worth, $23
million. Higher.
$40
million. Higher.
Really?
$60 million.
Oh, yeah, I'd be like,
I got 60 large in the bank.
I'm done.
You know what? I'll find a coaching job, a broadcasting job, whatever kind of cush job where I don't have to worry about life-threatening injuries or losing a leg. Yeah, I'm good.
I said, I mean, these guys are competitive, dude. That's sitting in a booth doesn't scratch that competitive itch for a guy like Alex Smith, I'm guessing. I don't know. Barry. I mean, I could be wrong, but damn, that's a crazy story, man. Poor dude.
Let me read this. Let me just read this to you as the final installment of why I would walk away. As of April 2020, Alex Smith has a net worth of $60 million. Alex Smith earned $41 million between June 2017 and June 2018 from salary and endorsements and became one of the 20 highest paid athletes on the planet. In NFL salary alone, he has accumulated, wait for it, $105.6 million as of September of 2018. That's 2018. Ooh. Now, remember that he got 41 between 2017 and 2018. So, he got paid last year while on the injured list, too. Wow. I'm gone. Bye. Thanks, and I'm gone.
Well, you're just a quitter, Joel. You're just a quitter. So. Yeah. That's just how you are.
You can call me a lot worse than that if I can walk with that much money.
You can call me worth $60 million. You can call me a quitter and a bitch and everything else. I'll be happy.
Just load it up and keep them coming, and I will gladly walk away.
Go over here and quit with my $60 million in the bank. God bless.
I mean, seriously? Wow.
Dude.
Speaking of that, by the way, and you said call me a bitch. Did you see the little spat going on between Curt Schilling and David Wells?
Oh, I heard about it. I didn't get to see all the deets, but I heard about it.
Yeah,
doesn't
so
surprise
David
me.
Wells,
both of those cats not afraid to tell you what they think.
No, very outspoken. Schilling's kind of gone off the deep end. You know, Schilling's not quite like the guy that played here, that played for the Giants, that's been like banned from all the World Series reunions and everything because he's so off the deep end, pro-Trump. The outfielder.
Aubrey Huff,
right. Schilling's not quite to that level, but he's close. I mean, he's over the top political. David Wells was just, like you said, he was an honest guy, but you either loved him or hated him. There were plenty of guys that didn't like him. Well, they asked Wells if there was one player that was predominantly hated by the players throughout their career, and he said Schilling, and he tweeted that. He tweeted Schilling. Well, Schilling got wind of it, found the tweet, and responded and basically said, I mean, hang on, I'm going to get the exact tweet for you. But he did use, he basically said, at least tag me, bitch.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, oh, there it is. At least tag me, you little bitch.
Little bitch, yes.
Damn. That's aggressive. I like it.
Now, I've been around David Wells. I played golf with David Wells. He's a good dude. Right?
Is he?
But he's just, you know, people forget, like, he threw a perfect game or at least a no-hitter, but I think it was a perfect game for the Yankees. He's a baseball historian, but he was also a little aloof, he went out a lot.
Speaks his mind.
But I don't think he pisses people off by taking hard stances in politics like Schilling did, but I'll tell you what, we could do a lot worse than a celebrity boxing match between those two guys.
Oh, I don't want to see those old fat dudes box. Are you kidding me?
I think they're pretty evenly matched. I'd like to see that go down.
It'd be awful. Neither one of them know how to fight. They're old. They're fat. They're out of shape.
Would you want to see Lenny Dykstra beat the hell out of Bagel Guy?
No.
I
want to see anybody beat the hell out of Bagel Guy, not just Lenny Dykstra. I don't care who it is. It could be
Screech.
Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds.
You don't want to see Screech and Bagel Guy in a cage match?
No. Because that would be an awful fight. I just want to see. There are people I just want to see get their ass whooped. I don't necessarily care about the fight.
All right.
Yeah. Well. You go watch David Wells. I mean, listen. Truth be told, at this point, I would totally watch them fight because I just jones in for sports.
keep in mind, it's live sports.
I would
know
take
the outcome.
It. You got
there
it.
There you go. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. The final hour of the show comes up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.